Continuing Joshua chapter 6 is going to take us a while to go through the book of Joshua. It's the book of hope. Last week we spoke about the Israelites getting ready to enter into Canaan, the land overflowing with milk and honey. We are 8 weeks into the book of Joshua. Our theme is hope, 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 hope this year. It's a new beginning. The book of Joshua is about hope, about people having a new start with God, freedom from bondage, and that God is working in the background ahead of them and ahead of us as well. And then as you read through the book of Joshua, you realize the battles belong to God. The battle belongs to the Lord. The work of God. And the assurance of God, and I say this every week about the book of Joshua, the assurance of God to us is that he tells us that we're going to be okay, that you're going to be okay. And you're going to find that out today as well. And then reading through the chapter 6 of Joshua, you notice that it's not simple as just marching up to the promised land, marching up to the wall of Canaan, or marching up to Jericho, the wall of Jericho, and just walk in there and take over. And it's like, here we are. It's not as simple as that, okay? It's going to get a little ugly, so I want you to pay attention. Put your thinking caps on. Have your Bibles ready. Joshua chapter 6 in the Old Testament, beginning verse 1. Now, the gate of Jericho was securely barred because of the Israelites. No one went out and no one came in. So obviously there's this great fear here. They're locking everybody in. They're waiting, anticipating this battle. It's going to happen. The book of Joshua is the book of conquest. When the Lord said to Joshua, "See, I have delivered Jericho into your hands along with its kings and its fighting men. March around the city once with all the armed men. Do this for 6 days. Have 7 priests carry trumpets of ram's horns in front of the ark. The 7th day, march around the city 7 times with the priests blowing the trumpets. When you hear the sound, when you hear them sound a long blast on the trumpets, have the whole army give a loud shout. Then the wall of the city will collapse and the army will go up, everyone straight in." Joshua said, skip all the way down to verse 22, because the Bible has these funny verses, I call them, like they repeat itself because it's poetry. So they repeat the whole thing. So we're going to skip that part. We're going to skip down to verse 22. Joshua said to the 2 men who had spies out the land, "Go into the prostitute's house and bring her out and all who belong to her in accordance with your oath to her." So the young men who had done the spying went in and brought out Rahab, her father and mother, her brothers and sisters, and all who belong to her. They brought out her entire family and put them in a place outside the camp of Israel. Then they burned the whole city and everything in it, but they put the silver and gold and articles of bronze and iron into the treasury of the Lord's house. But Joshua spared Rahab, the prostitute, with her family and all who belonged to her, because she hid the men Joshua had sent to spy Jericho. And she lived among the Israelites to this day. That tells you something. When Joshua wrote this book, Rahab was still alive, like living with them. At that time, verse 26, Joshua pronounced the solemn oath, "Curse before the Lord, who is the one who undertakes to rebuild the city, Jericho. At the cost of his firstborn, he will lay its foundations. At the cost of his youngest, he will set up its gates." So the Lord was with Joshua, and his fame spread throughout the land. So let me cover this before we go in. What does this have to do with us today? This is the scenario. They're getting ready to go into Jericho. Last week we learned about a little bit of circumcision. Some of you came forward to be circumcised on the stage. No, that didn't happen. You're a first time visitor. That didn't really happen. Like, that would have been weird, right? There's blood everywhere. No, I'm kidding. It didn't happen. But you heard about circumcision and all that stuff. So it didn't happen. But they're getting ready to go into Jericho. And here's the command from God. The 7 priests would pick up 7 horns. And the horns would go before the Ark of the Covenant. And then follow the Ark of the Covenant are the army men. Each and every day they are to march around the city 1 time. the horns will go first, the Ark of the Covenant, and then the army men. Now, they're not supposed to say a word as they march around the city of Jericho. And then when we think about the city of Jericho, you guys are thinking like this huge population, this huge city, right? Well, back then it wasn't like that. It was only like 9 acres, okay? So it wasn't that big. The population was roughly 300. Some even estimated that it might have been the biggest, like 3,000. So it wasn't like this huge city where millions of people, okay? It's a small little place. They can march around it within an hour and a half, roughly. But for 6 days, they walked around one time. On the seventh day, they march around seven times, which tells me from sunup to sundown. And on the seventh time, the trumpets will sound. And after the trumpets sound, then the men will shout, and then the wall will fall down. A little bit of background on the wall as well. It's about 11 feet high and 3 feet wide. Keep in mind, these guys have been wandering around the desert for almost 40 years. They don't have a clue how to break through a wall. They don't have the firepower. They don't have ladders. They don't have military strategies on how we're going to get over this wall and to fight the Amorites and defeat them and get hold of the city. Every battle they've been through has been because of God went ahead of them and fought for them. Now, when you study this, when you read this, you can't help but think, the obvious question is this, why doesn't God just wave his hand and make everything okay? Why didn't he just go, oh, there's the city. Go take it. No bloodshed. Occupy it. Enjoy it. That's the obvious question, right? We ask that all the time. Why doesn't God just wave his hand and Putin would just go away? They actually have psalms like that in the Old Testament, by the way, called the imprecatory psalms. You can actually pray for someone's downfall because they're so evil. Right? As your pastor, I certainly do that quietly in my office. Some of you sitting here, no, I'm just kidding. No, seriously, you can. It's imprecatory psalms. So the obvious answer is, why doesn't God just wave his hand and everyone just kind of be happy, go into the city and take over the city? He actually did. He did that. He did that once. The garden was perfect. There's no sin in the garden. The garden was perfect. And man decided to listen to Satan, as we covered last week, whisper in her ears, you can actually be God. Jesus performed miracles in broad daylight. Jesus walked on water in broad daylight. Jesus was crucified on the cross in broad daylight. Jesus resurrected in broad daylight. He appeared to 500 people at a time in broad daylight. He showed people his hands in broad daylight. He was taken up to heaven in front of a crowd of 5,000 people plus in broad daylight. There are more literature about Jesus than any Roman emperor that ever existed. And keep in mind, the Roman emperor had a guy called the scribe who walks every step behind the Roman emperor and write down everything he did in his lifetime. But Jesus has more literature on him than the Roman emperor. And even with all that, what did man do? Oh, he's just a good old boy. Psh, he can't be God. He's just a good guy. You know what I mean? Jesus, God made it so obvious. And we still doubt. You think he's going to wave his hand and make everything? No, man will have a way to say, oh, wait a minute, that can't be God, right? Man has a way of inventing things and creating our own God. And we talked about that last week as well. But focus with me here for a second. Those of you watching in Oklahoma, I know the time changed, so you're a little later. Maybe you're watching this later. But focus on here. Joshua is a book of conquest. The getting ready to enter Jericho is a religious service. What's happening here, it's a religious service pointing out God's judgment and God's grace for humanity. The walking around the walls for 6 days is a religious service. Walking around the wall 7 times on the 7th day, it's a religious service. Blowing the trumpet and shouting on the 7th time, it's a religious service. This is a religious ceremony that's happening here in the book of Joshua. Keep in mind, leading up to this very moment, there were specific instructions from chapter 1 all the way to chapter 6. Be strong and courageous. Don't turn right. Don't turn left. Observe the Sabbath. Wash yourself. Circumcise. Worship before you can enter into the promised land. Everything they've done up to this point was about God setting them apart to be able to be with Him. How many of you guys have a kid that just yells all the time at home? You do, right? Some of you do, yeah, all the time. I witnessed it. Kaylin, come on up. Come on up, Kaylin. Don't be shy. You're not a shy person. You yell at home all the time. Come up here. I got a point to make. Come on, Kaylin. All right. This is happening. You ready for this? You like yelling? Yelling at Dylan? Yelling at your parents? Sixth grade going into senior of high school, right? That's you. 12 going on 21. Is that what it feels like raising this child? I know I'm embarrassed enough. Here's what's happening, guys. So they march around the city. Okay, I want you to walk around. Just keep walking back and forth. They walk around this city, 9 acres long. She's walking back and forth, okay? Every day they march around once. So that's, you know, take about an hour and a half, 9 acres of land. Once every day. On the 7th day, they march around seven times. And on the 7th time, I want you to stop. Ready? 7 times, stop. And I want you to lift a loud shout. That's what happened. Go ahead. That was it? Come on. Come on. That is. You are Brazilian. You know, you guys are like my people, right? We're loud. We talk with our hands and with passion. So on the 7th time, they what? They go ahead. Let me hear you yell. Ah. A little louder. Come on, a little louder. Do a little. Let it out. Let it rip. Ah! Let it rip. Go ahead.
Ah.
One more time. One more time. Come on. Okay, good. All right, good enough. Go ahead, Kaylin. That's what happened. Now, here's the religious idea behind this, right? God's name is Yahweh. And I said this before, His name, it's breath. God's name is literally the sound of breathing, the sound of breath. So on the 7 times, what do you think what happens when you live out a shout loud? Where is your head, your eyes, your body? Where do you get this energy from? It came from the all the way up, and you lift up to the heaven, and they shout the name of God. That is what's happening here. On the 7th time, the breath of God was lifted towards heaven as loud as they can. Ah! You see what I'm doing? You can't shout like this, right? You don't get a lot out. My point, your attention. Everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. What is happening here? It's a religious ceremony that everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Romans chapter 10, verse 13. I'm not rewriting the Bible. I'm not going to come up with something inspirational for you to remember today or walk out of here. I mean, that was awesome. I'm going to tweet that. I'm going to quote. No, this is directly from the scripture. Everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. This is what was a religious ceremony, and God can tear down any wall, any walls that put up by human hearts. God can tear down any walls put up by human hearts. The trumpet announces the coming of the Ark of the Covenant right behind, which is the presence of the Lord. And everyone shouted. Everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. And I read that. You have not fallen from grace. You are not far off. You're never too bad to be saved. There's no sin is too great for God, because all who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. How do I know that? Because in Joshua chapter 22, it pointed out something that all of us needs to know. Joshua said to the two men who had spies out the land, go into the prostitute's house and bring her out and all who belong to her in accordance with your oath to her. So the young men who had done the spying went in and brought out Rahab, her father and mother, her brothers and sisters, and all who belonged to her. They brought out her entire family, put them in a place outside the camp of Israel. They burned the whole city and everything in it. But they put the silver and gold and articles of bronze and iron to the treasury of the Lord's house. But Joshua spared Rahab and Rahab the prostitute with her family and all who belonged to her, because she hid the men Joshua had sent as spies to Jericho. And she lived among the Israelites until this day. In the middle of the wall, remember in chapter 2, four chapters earlier, in the middle of the wall. So Jericho has two walls, the outer wall and the inner walls. Between the walls is where Rahab lives, the prostitute. So when the spies came in, she hid them. And they made a deal. We're going to march into your city. And what I want you to do is, I want you to hang this scarlet outside your window. And whoever's in your house, it's going to be safe. And Joshua made a point to reuse the word prostitute twice as he's rewriting this account, pointing out the obvious of sin in Rahab's life. Look at her, the prostitute. Look at her. She has done a lot of things that a lot of us would not forgive. Look at her. There are things that she's done that we can't even talk about it. And sometimes in life, this is God's trophy, God's grace. This is God's banner on our lives. When judgment day comes, it illustrates God's grace that everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Amen. Here I am. Here I am waving your red scarlet. Here I'm a sinner. I messed up. I didn't live the best life. I've done some things that I'm not so proud of. I've done some things that is too embarrassing to share from the stage. Here I am. I've been hurt by the church. I've been hurt by the people in my lives. I've been hurt by God. Here I am. God took away people that I love. Here I am. I became broke because I follow God. Here I am. And sometimes we put up walls of pride. I have so much wealth, I don't need God. I have so many hours of volunteers that I don't need God because I'm a good person. we put up walls all the time to keep God out of our lives. But God says, no. You're my trophy. You're my banner. You're the very grace that when I come into the city, that everything around it will die. But anyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Amen. God can tear down any walls by any human hearts that put up by human hearts. And we can't miss the part where God just wiped out the whole city, right? I mean, that's what happens. They burn it. And I can't imagine what that would have looked like. And when I read it, like, well, that's really mean. Like, why would God do that? Like, you march into the people's home. They were probably living in peace. I don't know. And you just wipe them out and just burn it down and give it to the Israelites? How do you explain that? It's pretty simple. Judgment, it's ugly. Sin, it's ugly. And that's what life looks like without God. You think that's bad. It's going to be worse when Jesus comes back. If you think reading Jericho is bad or mean, oh God, this mean God in the Old Testament, you think that, if you're watching at home, you think that's mean, it's going to be worse when Jesus comes back. This is the aha moment that I always tell you. When you read the scripture, have an aha moment. In Revelation chapter 11, verse 15, this is what happened. The seventh angel sounded his trumpet, and there were loud voices in heaven which said, the kingdom of the world has become the kingdom of our Lord and of his Messiah, and he will reign forever and ever. Here's the deal. In Revelation, the same thing happened. The priest would sound the trumpet and Jesus will come. And what do you think would happen when Jesus comes? Everything will be wiped out. Everything will be wiped out. And Jesus alluded to this when he was living on earth. He says, then the Son of Man comes in glory. It's on the screen. And all the angels with him, he will sit on his glorious throne. He's referring to Revelation chapter 11. All the nations will be gathered before him, and he will separate the people from one another as shepherds separate the sheep from the goats. Guys, I'm not being mean. God is not being mean. God is giving us a sense of reality, the ugliness of sin and what's going to happen. And when Jesus come back and the trumpet will sound, this happened. He will put the sheep on the right and the goats on the left. Then the king will say to those on his right, come, you who are blessed by my Father, take your inheritance, the kingdom prepared for you since the creation of the world. Next slide. The battle, it's already been won. Victory comes from the Lord. We can't save ourselves. All we have to do is stay in the house of our faith and hang on to the hope of God's promises. Rahab was saved, and she was the only one that was saved in that land because she stayed in the house. She stayed in the house. She stayed in the house. All she had to do was stayed in the house. Think about the woman at the well when she encountered Jesus. She went back into town and tell everybody about Jesus. I think about Rahab. All she has to do is stay in the house. Who else was in the house? Her family members. Who else was in the house? Her family members. Think about this for a second, guys. She's a prostitute. Look at me. She was able to convince her family to stay in her house, which was the entry point of the Israelites. It's probably the most dangerous place to stay in because she will be the first person they see. And even signaling outside her window, there are people here. But she was able to convince them to stay with her. All she has to do was to stay in the house. Because everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Proverbs 18, it says this, a rich man's wealth is his strong city. And like high walls in his own imagination. A rich man's wealth is his strong city. And like a high wall, it's his own imagination. Telling us there's nothing we can do in this world to save ourselves. We build up these spiritual walls like Jericho. We rely on our riches. We rely on our volunteerism. We rely on our philanthropic acts. We try to be a good person. We try to save ourselves. And we come up with our own self-righteous attitudes that we are spiritual. But we also can build up walls of shame and hurt and afraid that God's going to hurt us if we follow him too closely. The mistakes we carry around or the guilt that we don't think God can love us. But we forget that everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. That Rahab was brave enough to understand that when Jesus comes, well, when God comes, even her loved ones can't escape the wrath of God. Doesn't matter how much we love them or how good we think they are. So she went and told them, and they trusted her, and they lived in the house with her, and everyone else perished. And the same thing will happen in Revelation, except this time it's going to be worse. So we have a choice to make, really. I mean, think about that for a second. We have a choice to make. Are we brave enough to take this message to our families? Are we brave enough to take this message out there and trying to get as many people in the house of faith as much as we can? Or do we just come here every Sunday and kind of sit here by ourselves and be good enough? I hope your faith is more than that. I hope your faith is more mature than that. That you're willing to take this message and tell the world that God is coming. That these walls can be torn down. That we can enter into the house of faith, into the house of the Lord, and be saved. Everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. God can tear down any walls put up by human hearts. The battle has already been won through Jesus Christ. The victory comes only by him, and there's nothing we can do to save ourselves except shout and call on the name of the Lord. But are we willing to take that away from here, outside of here, really? I mean, what does our faith look like? What is your relationship with God looks like? What do you know that you need to do to warn the world, your families, your loved ones, that the end is coming? This is Mark. Mark Cornelli. The band come for it. I knew Mark back in middle school. I was a basketball coach, and he played for me in middle school. And then Mark went on to go to Boca Raton High School. And, you know, he was in the youth group, and I would see him often. They'd go and minister to his family and his mom. Mark's dad was not in the picture. and Mark been at our house, and we invite him over, and his mom. Senior year comes around, Mark went on to play football at a small community college, and we kind of lost touch after that. But once in a while, a couple of years, sometimes a couple of months, but once in a while, I'll get a text from Mark. And Mark would say, "New, I just want you to know I'm doing okay. I'm playing football." And I would simply text him back, "Hey, I'm so proud of you, man. Keep going." Back in high school, Mark had some issues at home, and we would constantly go over to his house because his mom was working a lot, and he would be home with his brother, and no one would watch over him. So we would go over, and I'm sure you're watching, Mark. And we would go over and just hang out with him and bring him food or take him out to eat, whatever needs to be done. We did that throughout high school. Helped him through some drug issues and some rebellious stages between him and his mom. But so often, several years, I would get a text from Mark. "Hey, New, I just want you to know I'm doing well." A couple years ago, I got a text that said, "Mom, New, I'm moving to Boston. Because I can't live with my mom anymore, so she's sending me to Boston. Hopefully, I'll straighten my life out." And I said, "Hey, good luck. Praying for you." A couple years later, I said, "New, I just want you to know I'm moving to Baltimore. Just want you to know I'm doing okay." A year and a half ago, I received a phone call from Mark. He said, "New, I just want you to know Mom passed away. I just don't know what to do because I don't have anyone left. I just want to talk." "Tom, I think you were in my garage when that phone call happened. We were working on my yard. My mom passed away, and I don't know who to call and what to talk to, so just want you to know." So we spent some time on the phone and texted back and forth the next day to make sure he's okay. We haven't spoken since, a year and a half. I got a text on Friday of a link. I was too busy to turn on the link, so I didn't turn it on. But that afternoon, I received a series of pictures. This is Mark. Officer Quinelli. He graduated from the police academy. "So proud of you, man." And my point is this. What are you doing with your faith, man? Come on. What are we doing with our faith? We'd be like Rahab, all the messes that she's been through, she still waves it and says, "Come to my house. Come to my house because the Lord is coming. Judgment day is coming. Come to my house." And the woman at the well, she took the message from Jesus and ran back into town with all of her shame, all of her hurt, all of her pride. She put it all down and said, "God is coming. And judgment day is coming." What are we doing with our faith, man? And we live such boring lives. We live such boring lives sometimes. What are we doing with our faith, church? And as we go through this and we get mad that God's going to wipe out this whole city, that's what we get mad about? sin is real and sin is ugly, we forget that Rahab was that trophy that God wants to point our eye towards. Fact. That is my grace to you. Amen. Let's pray. God, we love you. We thank you so much for who you are. We thank you for your grace, your love, your forgiveness. That so oftentimes we put up so many walls. Walls of our comfort. The walls of our pride, the walls of our hurt. But this morning, forgive us where we fall short. That you can tear down those walls. And help us to blow the trumpet. And to shout. Because the end will come. And it will be ugly. To those who don't believe that you separate us from the sheep and the goat. Judgment is real. And we thank you that you give us the opportunity to hold on to hope. It is in the name of Jesus that I pray. Amen. Amen. Let's stand. If you have a decision to make this morning, our elders will be up here to pray with you. If you never accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and your Savior, and you've never been baptized, today could be your day. Will you start this new life with God? What's the point of sharing God's word without offering you an opportunity to turn your hearts to Him? Every Sunday here at our church, we want you to turn your hearts to Jesus, because it's always about Jesus, and it's only about Jesus. It's never about anything else. I even get mad about making announcements from the stage. You can pick one of those flyers on your way in and out. But your heart should be gearing towards God. If you never made that decision for God this morning, I invite you to meet me here. If you have prayers at all, our elders will be up here to pray with you as well. Don't leave here today without making a decision.